Our scripture is from Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Pray with me. So engage us now by the work of your Holy Spirit. Plant in our hearts and minds the thoughts that bring you honor and glory. Stir in us an act of devotion and an outpouring of your Spirit. And grant us now always unity in the faith. For we ask these things and we pray it in the beautiful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We start our all-church study this fall with a book entitled Letters to the Church by Francis Chan. If you've never had an opportunity to hear Francis speak, I'd engage you to find him on YouTube or several popular places to hear a passionate preacher, an individual who seeks to put in practical ways the work and nature of the gospel. One of the dynamic illustrations that I first encountered Francis Chan in was a long rope that he had running out the side of the church and the other going off the other side. And in a small little part taped on this long rope was a little, just small fraction of that. And he points to it and says, "That's our life in the kingdom of God. And everything else that's going after and everything else that's before, that's all God. But you and me, we're that little speck, that little bit." This dynamic Christian writer speaks now to us as a church and engages us over the next 8 weeks into an opportunity of study, of self-examination, of question. They're individual chapters that almost stand apart. Once he wrote the work, he discovered that each of the chapters are really just like individual letters. Some may speak stronger to others, but all in total, much like Paul when he wrote to the early Christian church, shared that invitation to be the church. Francis and his wife Lisa, as they were exploring their own spiritual walk, had attended and participated in several churches and found themselves struggling, wanting to find three distinct things that would make up a dynamic Christian community, and one in which he sought to plant and to share in a new beginning. The first, Francis said, was that I want a people who will sing directly to God. Not just people who sing out a rote or just follow along, but really passionately open your heart and your life and sing to bear witness to God. You know, Armstrong Chapel has that opportunity every Sunday to be a people that sings directly to God, and led by such an amazing choir or in a worship gathering over in the small chapel, we have opportunities to call out our favorite hymns and to sing them before the Lord. Secondly, Francis said, he'd want a church that would really hear the Word of God. Not just a church that liked to find little keepsakes and little things, but read the whole thing, struggle with what the whole Bible means for us and how we could live it out. And lastly, Chan said he'd want a group of people who want to live holy lives. He has to confess that in the American church, there's an awful lot of us that come on Sunday morning, sit and listen and then do nothing about it. If we're really in the full nature of Scripture, we'd identify what James 1:22 said about being hearers and doers also. James wrote, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." James 1:22. Such an invitation to express ourselves and live it out. Now, I know it's sort of dangerous when you're preaching a sermon to tell you to look at your hymnal, but I'll ask you to find one. And in the very front, well before the glossary and all the other hymns, at V11, you have instructions by John Wesley about what it means to be a people who sing directly to God. Now, I'm only going to summarize a couple of these that are fun for me, but I'll leave all seven of these to your digest and reading. He first tells you to learn only these hymns. And once you've learned these tunes, then you can go on and learn others. He asks you to sing directly as they're printed. He says to sing all of them. Then he asks you to sing lustily and with good courage. But I have to read this line to you. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but lift your voice with strength. What do you say, Ben? Amen? Yeah, that's it. Not half dead, not asleep. Then he says, sing modestly. There's a challenge for some of us. And then he says, sing in time. Whatever time is sung, be sure to keep with it. Notice the flexibility here. You have to follow Stacy just a little bit. The drawing way naturally steals on all who are lazy, Wesley will write, and it's high time to drive it out of us and to sing all our tunes just as quickly as we did at first. And then beautifully he says, above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye on God in every word you sing. I have a sense that's what Chan meant when he talked about being a church that sings directly to God. It's what Wesley wanted his followers to do. And we know that the Wesley brothers were famous for the tunes and the words that they put to message so that they might be songs in our heart and we carry them with them everywhere. It would be as if we would sing directly to God and no one else. At page 15 of the first chapter, Francis Chan identifies the fact that the Bible tells us that every member of the body has a gift necessary to the functioning of the church. You and I have an important role. Oftentimes it does not be the hand or the mouth or the eye or the ear. It could be one small cell, but every cell equally important to the work of the body of the church. As Francis and Lisa were discovering their walk, they decided to plant a church in Simi Valley that took off, and Cornerstone began to be one of those dynamic, successful mega churches, directing others in and through not only a small beginning in their living room, but then through a middle school and then through buildings and multiple buildings, all with the purpose of being Christ's church in the world. But unlike most of his contemporaries that found and build megachurches, there came a period for Francis when he decided that he needed to give that church to someone else and he needed to move on to where God was calling him to move. And he asked his wife if she were restless, and she immediately piped in and said she'd had the same prayer time and the same prayer request. Then, ironically, a friend called him completely out of the blue the very day that he and Lisa had that conversation and said, "Just do it. Let go and follow God's will." I don't know what that means, but I just know God wanted me to call you and tell you that. And all of a sudden, Francis Chan leaves this highly successful church and takes his family and moves across the globe to see the church at work in the world, in Thailand and in India and in China. They were thinking of battening down things in their family in Hong Kong and living out that call of faith that they had so richly experienced in those foreign lands. And yet there started to be a restlessness again for him. And he finds himself taking the invitation of his brother, who had a one-bedroom apartment for his whole family. And they move back to San Francisco, where they're now We Are Church. And he is a dynamic cultural leader, inviting us to try and discern what it looks like to be the New Testament church, to try and be the church that establishes us in the power and in the presence of God. He writes on page 26, "All I'm asking is that we show some humility and respect, even to those who don't deserve it. Let's be a people of grace." He identifies that in our culture, in our time, it's far easier to be the critical church, to be the critical Christian who often at times looks and identifies the fault of a neighbor, who calls out an inadequacy in a system rather than saying what they do to try and change that circumstance, to just simply live in that negativity. This would not be where the Scripture calls us to be as a church. In the letter that Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he says to us, and I bolded just one sentence of the passage that Diane read for you today, so that you might carry just one little piece all this week with you. "I urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them." What would it be like if we were that kind of church? If we were that kind of people that invited people to come join us in the labor and work, not merely doing our simple task, but inviting and including others, those who would find themselves to be rather sitting than doing the Word of God. To be that encouragement in our community, for those who are faint-hearted, who wonder, who doubt, who struggle in belief, to be those who would help the weak, and yeah, maybe most of all, to be patient. I confess to you, that is one of the hardest Christian disciplines Christ would ever demand of us. To have that portion of patience, not just simply wanting things to happen in our own time, and in our own will, and in our own way, but in Christ's way. And then Francis invites us to simply allow God to be in fellowship with us, asking to join in doing what God is doing. It would be, as Paul would write to the church in Ephesus, "Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Please notice that unity and peace cannot be subdivided. Unity in the life of the church, even for the United Methodist Church, after all, it's in our name, shouldn't we try and practice it? United Methodist, not divided. Not critical of one another, not finding fault in one another, but finding the Spirit at work in each and every one of us in dynamic and new ways that bring about those bonds of peace, a peace that extends beyond a human capacity to understand and accomplish, a peace that stirs us into the awakening, into the very moment of God's power and presence to reveal to us the peace that passes all understanding. You see, you and I are invited into this season of discernment. What will our church be like? What will the church take shape if it were up to us to be agents to build and establish that ministry here? Just as those who some time ago gave the very gift of the property across the street that a small chapel might be built so that those who lived in the neighborhood wouldn't have to drive all the way to Milford to find a church. Remember that day? When it really was hard to go just that far. Now we're people that drive 20, 30 minutes without a thought because it's easy for us and it's air conditioned. When was the last time you rode on an air conditioned horse? It is one of those invitations for us now to be the church today. Not just planted for this little neighborhood that could walk here and gather strength, but to be a people that realizes a unity and a peace in Christ, a fellowship with God, to do what God is doing, really to do it as His Word says, and to commit our lives to that holy purpose. Again, Wesley would gather his followers together and examine their lives in special questions each and every day so that we might know we're a holy people. A lot that makes a difference because we share with the world what the world can't do for itself. We offer the church, Christ's church, God's very presence for the world, not a place where we simply gather for coffee and fellowship, not a place where we just from time to time find the privilege of praying with one another, but to live holy lives, lives equipped by the Holy Spirit, empowered for the life and reflection of a new generation, not just for our three-year-olds, but for even that little baby that was born just on that mercy ship, just off the Bahamas. In the midst of devastation, the broadcast came across the microphone announcing that birth and announcing that hope. Will we be that place of hope? I pray we will. Letters to the church. Listen to Francis. Listen to one another, grow in the Word of God. Amen.